Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. Sorry it's been a little over a week since we've put out the last episode, but I've been out hunting. I've been trying to kill a dirty giant on my own. I just haven't been able to make it happen yet. But I'm super excited for this episode. Caden Peck, he did make it happen on an awesome buck, an awesome general season giant. And to be honest, I'm super jealous of this deer. As soon as I saw pictures of it, I just couldn't believe it, how big this deer was. And but I'm super glad that Caden killed it. And the story is pretty unreal. You'll hear how much time and effort he put into this deer. And I think that's just what it takes to kill big bucks, is a lot of time, a lot of effort, some skill, and a little bit of luck. And Caden did all of that. So I think you guys will really enjoy this story. But before we start, I just want to thank the sponsor of our podcast, Rider Industries. That's RYDR. And they just put out a new bipod, the Fat Boy 6. And people have started to get it now. He's been shipping them out. And man, this is just such an awesome bipod. It adjusts 5 inches to 20 inches. And my favorite feature, it has like the pan head on it. So you're able to set your bipod and then still pan left and right. And then it has the carbon fiber legs, super light, super durable. And I got mine and I just love it. So go ahead and check them out. It means a lot to me that they sponsor this podcast. So I'd like to help them out a little bit. But anyways, we have Caden Peck here. And he's going to tell us the story of his giant general season buck he just recently killed a couple weeks ago. So thanks for getting on, Caden.
Absolutely. Connolly, thank you so much for having me. I am feeling unbelievably blessed with this buck. And I couldn't even hold it together. When I let that arrow fly, I seriously just broke down, and you'd have thought I had Parkinson's, no doubt about it. I was shaking like crazy. And you know, what a cool feeling. Such an awesome deer. His mass is unreal. I'm excited to get into it as well.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear the story. I've heard bits and pieces, but I've never heard the whole thing yet. But before we get into that, I just kind of want to get the listeners to get to know you a little bit. I mean, you've killed a lot of really good bucks, and so you obviously know what you're doing, and this year you proved that even more. So I just kind of want to get to know like how you got into hunting and maybe a little bit about yourself and stuff, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I kind of grew up in the hunting scene. My dad's a pretty avid hunter. You know, he started us at a young age. I've been fortunate growing up. I've had some awesome experiences. I would say at age 14 was probably the best experience, or probably the best year of hunting that a 14-year-old could have. I mean, I put in for the $5 expo tag, and I ended up drawing a San Juan early rifle elk tag. And
No way, I
you
didn't
know
know
what?
that.
So that just fuels your fire so much as a young kid. And I think that's what started it for me, was the realization that there's so much opportunity. And then of course being surrounded by somebody that is also is all about hunting, right? Like my dad and I have been on some crazy experiences, to say the least. So I grew up in Lehigh, but I am a transplant down here in southern Utah. But it all kind of came together this year, Conley, and I could not be more excited with how my hunting season went this year. But in years past, you know, you don't draw the tags that you want, or you maybe even, like, I guided for a few years for an outfit up in northern Utah, R&K.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so some of your hunting seasons are so, they get to be so limited if you guide at all. And so I found myself almost rushed for time, or that's how I, you know, narrowed it down. I don't know for sure, but you feel like you're guiding other people, helping them kill animals. You're part of a lot of animals, but then you get just a few days to hunt yourself.
Right.
And so this year it kind of just, man, it came together. I had time. We had time to scout. We've got a few good tags in our pocket, you know, like I'm really excited. Still, I still have one good deer tag coming up. So,
jeez. good.
It's been an awesome experience, man. Like I don't know if you want me to get right into the story, but ultimately it just came together, as it does sometimes, you know, once in a blue moon, it just came together. But
yeah, let's go ahead. I mean, we might as well just jump right into it. I mean, let's kind of start with, like, when you first, like, found a buck and stuff, if that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So I started this year. I knew that, you know, so I had a boy. My boy was born in May, and so I kind of knew, hey, timing was going to be perfect. I think he's going to be just getting to that age of, you know, he's old enough that I can sneak away and try and make something happen on this deer. But I really did put a lot of time and energy into my unit. I mean, I think I was running eight or nine cameras, and for a general season tag, I don't think I've ever done that. Like I never really focused that heavily running so many cameras, and I learned nothing other than deer are so smart, and you can miss their route by 150 yards and never see that deer, period.
yeah.
It is so aggravating to glass up deer, find deer, say, this has got to be where they're going to be going through, right here, and end up with cows or nothing on your camera. You know, like I had that happen a lot this year. And with this buck, I actually never got him on camera. I was only able to glass him up, and I first glassed him up. It was probably middle of July. But we just didn't know how he was going to finish. Believe it or not, he kind of
right.
looked like his back end would end up being a little shorter, a little, like, ultimately I thought I had other deer located that would end better.
Really?
And
that's interesting.
And yeah, so I learned a lot about mule deer this year, just from watching them and time spent, in the field. Like I mean, we were trying to go out there at least three or four times a week in the field, and not just after him, right? We were trying to keep tabs on several other deer. But setting cameras, everything, it starts taking a toll on you.
yeah.
But once I found this buck and I started to see how he was going to finish, it almost became like an obsession. I just needed to make sure that he stuck to his route, to make sure that he didn't get buggered, to make sure that, you know, I had my best odds of killing this buck. And I felt like I put in a lot of effort in doing that. I every morning I would go out and keep tabs on him. And my job's flexible enough, luckily, that I was able to, but my hours were awful. I mean, I was up at 2 a.m. I was up at 2 a.m. and on the mountain trying to glass, you know, in on this buck, and back to work by 8:30 or 9. And so days really started to get long, man. Like, you started to feel like, I might be a crazy person. This is asinine.
So when you're glassing them during the scouting period, are you just trying to find out, like, any information you can, like his bedding, his feeding? Like, yep. What are you trying to learn, or what did you learn from?
So my biggest takeaway was, I really think I wanted to know what he would do under pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some reason, the most pressure that he would get was like Thursday mornings. I don't know why, but it was a Thursday morning. You get a lot of traffic, people buzzing around, you know, and that's when he would do something that was different than what he would do without pressure. And so I was trying to learn this buck. I knew where he wanted to go, but it's okay, but he could go left, or he could go right, or he could go straight. You know, like it was, he had so many different opportunities to switch it up. I just wanted to stack all the odds in my favor the best that I could. And so going out there, you know, it was ultimately, I just was putting surveillance on him. What does he do in high pressure situations? And because I felt like that's how it was going to be.
Were you seeing other people like out there scouting? Like, do you think at this point, did anyone else know about the buck that you knew of?
You know what? I ended up finding out that there were like two or three other guys that knew about him. But mm-hmm. I only saw one other kid there. And I actually, you know, I actually went up and talked to him. I wanted to introduce myself. I was like, hey, you know, it's a cool deer. You know what? I knew he was looking at him. Ultimately I just wanted to know kind of who he was, and it got to a point where, Connelly, I just wanted to put my hands on him no matter who killed him. Like I just loved him so much. And so I would say preseason scouting, maybe like two, three times I saw other people, you know, glassing.
Yeah.
But I'm not even saying that they were glassing him. It was, but of course I would see people. They just kind of bypassed this area. Fortunate for me, you know.
And see, I always have that issue, like, when I see someone else, I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure they see my deer, the deer I'm watching. Do I go talk to them and see if I can gather maybe a little bit of information, or see, like, how hard or how serious they are? Or do I keep quiet and make sure I don't give them any extra information? Like, I always go back and forth with that. So, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and... You know what? I made the call. I just said, yeah, he knows about him. I'm going to go at least introduce myself because, like I said, I just wanted to hold him. I just wanted to put my hands on him because I had my guesses, right? I figured, hey, this deer, I don't know this measurement, but if this measurement is X, I think he's big. You know what I mean? Like you start piecing stuff together, and maybe he hates me for going and talking to him. But ultimately, we came back and I was a spotter for this kid a couple mornings. You know, trying to help him kill. And so it kind of turned into what I hope is a little bit of a friendship. And so it worked out in my favor on this one. I'm not saying everyone is going to have the same response, you know?
So you were a spotter for the buck you ended up killing for, like you helped him spot that one or
no, it was, sorry, I didn't clarify. It was after I had killed my deer.
Yeah, I was going to say, geez, you're way nicer than me.
Yeah, so it was after I had killed my deer. I actually, you know, we talked back and forth. I sent him some pictures, and I was like, you know what? I'm feeling so fortunate, but I'm still sick for it. Like, I want to be out there every single morning. Like, I'd love to come and help. And one morning he took me up on my offer and I was grateful he did. So we went out, you know, we knew of a few other bucks and, we tried to help him on a few other deer, but golly, general season can be a little bit of a circus. You know what? So,
oh yeah.
It didn't go in our favor those mornings, but yeah, it was ultimately Connelly, I didn't hunt another deer besides him for me. I was very selfish during the archery hunt, and so I definitely, you know, I'm not, yeah, I couldn't have done that. Sit there and be a spotter.
Yeah.
That had killed me.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, gee whiz. But anyway, sorry, I kind of diverted you. So
nope.
we're kind of still on scouting season here. And then,
yeah, so.
Like, are you seeing them almost every morning you go out?
Yeah, every morning I have my eyes on him. He stuck to his routine. And stuck to it almost religiously. I mean, he didn't divert, but maybe 100 yards, you know, on a different path. Like he definitely knew where he wanted to go, until Thursday. And Thursday he would take a different route, and it was so strange. But for some reason, whether it's, you know, traffic or preference, I don't know. But he would take a different route. And
that's so interesting.
So, yeah, he just had his little quirks, you know. And he had another buck with him. He's a pretty wide, like, if you weren't careful, the width on him got you excited, you know, a wide 4-point. And so he ran with that wide 4-point religiously. And that wide 4-point, I swear, was making me lose my hair. That wide 4-point, he pegged me every single morning of the hunt. It was him, not the big deer, in whom me and my buddy did name him the buck I killed. His name is Poseidon. So that's kind of the name of him that we like, mm-hmm. just because of that trident. So every morning, he was with that wide 4-point and would do the exact same routine and go the exact same way. And then he kind of changed up. So as I started getting closer to the hunt, he started, you know, wanting to get out of his eating area that was in the open immediately. Like first light, he was headed for the PJs. So he started to change little by little. But again, I was like, okay, he's still killable. I can still, he doesn't go this route. He's still killable. And it started getting, you know, real. I started getting excited. And opening morning of the hunt, it yeah. was a complete circus. I mean, I have people everywhere. I hadn't seen a person, like, other than maybe two or three other dudes, like I said, and then all of the sudden, I've got this army of vehicles just going parading up and down, driving every trail, lights going everywhere. It's a complete madhouse. I'm in position for this buck where I figured he would go, and it because of all the people, he actually opening morning was in the trees very, very early. I mean, before shooting light. And I get to my spot before anyone. And then I look up to my left. There's a little knob. And it's not a crazy distance from me. But this little red samurai parks right on top of this knob. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like this
right.
funnel right below this knob, like every single morning religiously. And then this guy parks on top of the knob. And I am just scratching my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be just a disaster. I'm sitting in the trees, you know, thinking I'm good. And then all of a sudden, you know, your eyes start to make adjustments. You can kind of start to see that a sagebrush is a sagebrush. And I start seeing this doe walking at me. And so I pull up my binos. Uh-huh. I'm watching her. And then right behind her is my buck, is Poseidon, walking
no
right at me.
No way.
And he's closing the distance. And I'm like, this is going to happen opening morning. But it's pretty early. Like, I can't see. I mean, he's still got 100 yards to close, but he's uh-huh. got to be slower. I'm not going to be able to see anything.
Right.
And I eventually kind of get positioned, like I'm making sure I can draw back and there's no limbs. And I, you know, like I'm making sure that I got it. And
mm-hmm.
I range him the last time at 102 yards, opening morning.
Yeah.
And his head just goes straight up in the air. The wide 4-point has me completely pegged, and they go right up over this knob by that red samurai. And
what?
I just start shaking my head. I'm just kicking the dirt. I'm like, oh my gosh. I go walking up towards the top of the knob. Like I go hiking up there, and I see
yeah.
them coming back from a scramble, holding their bow case in their hand. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they know about this deer. They just saw this deer because they are scrambling like crazy. I'm just sick to my stomach. And
right.
Like, I hadn't seen him, that Red Samurai at least, not one time. And then opening morning, they see this buck. And so I kind of turn into this, like, jealous, nope, I gotta beat these guys to this knob. Like, we gotta be here first, you know? And me and this Red Samurai, we went back and forth and back and forth who got to where first. There were mornings I was walking in to get to my spot, and I'd get a whistle. And these guys are going to be the death of me. Morning one, I seriously was walking out at about 6:30, 6:35 in the morning, done hunting. Like, that's how fast, like, it wasn't even a question as to, okay, let's see if we can glass up some other deer. He was the deer I wanted. You know, later on in the story, I do get asked by that Red Samurai. I run into him, lo and behold, and he's like, why were you walking out, you know, at first light? Like, you were just leaving. And it was because he was already spooked and into the trees, and I just said, yep, on to the next. This is going to be a joke. So I opening morning, I leave really, really early. But I do turn on my tracker on the second day. So opening morning, I didn't turn on my tracker. But on the second day, I do turn on my tracker. Because it was just, like I said, cat and mouse every single day.
Yeah.
But second day, I turned on my tracker after a failed, you know, he was probably at 90 yards day two.
You're getting close.
So close, man. Like, close enough where it starts crossing your mind of, can I make this shot happen? But he just wouldn't give me enough time. And so I made it a point when I watched him go into the trees that I would go look at his track, try and look at his track, know his track, and then follow his track into the trees so that I had a rough idea of his route. Like, that's what I made it a point. And day two comes and goes. Day three, you know, same song and dance. I am under 100 yards. I just can't make it happen. He just decides to take a right, or he is into the trees earlier than I can see, or the wide 4-point pegs me again, right? Like, I mean, day three, day four, day five, same song and dance. I mean, I'm there from 2:30 a.m. trying to beat this Red Samurai. 2:33 a.m. I'm leaving my house trying to get there and get hiked in and get in position. It started to take a toll on me. Like, I was seriously questioning why am I doing this? This is a mule deer that is, you know, like, just some animal, but it just turned into, this is what I got to do. Every day I was under 100 yards from him. And then it was, I think, day six or seven. And again, I'm turning my tracker on. I'm walking his tracks into the trees. A variation of, I think, at most, the most that he deviated from his path was about 150 yards. Everything else was really close, 40 to 60 to, you know, 20 yards to right on it. he really did have his little channel that he liked to go in. And it ends up helping me later on. But I think it was day 6 or 7, I can't remember, that I'm in. I took a different route, and I'm kind of waiting for this buck. And all of a sudden, he's at 102 yards again and closing. And all of a sudden, I hear, meh. And I start looking in the trees. I'm like, who is here? Someone is here. They can't be under 90 yards from him. I am so, ultimately, my heart just sinks, right? I hear them, meh, trying to stop this buck. And then it was like slow motion. I hear the bow go off. And what? I'm watching this white fletched arrow go through the air. I watch it hit the hill and skip, but I couldn't see if he hit the buck or not. I mean, it was such chaos. It happened so quick. I am just sick. I start freaking out.
No way.
I'm like, no way that this just happened. Like, he was 100 yards from me, coming to me, and somehow these guys are in this spot that I didn't even know they were there.
That's so crazy.
Again, I take my route out, and I didn't even say, but I got to give a shout out to my buddy. He was there every step of the way. So Jet, I failed to mention his name in the beginning, but I could not have done it without Jet and his help. And so he was there every step of the way. Like, I left the trees, hiked back to the truck. He'd meet me around, and we'd kind of regroup. He kept my morale high. Like, big help there. And so we,
yeah,
ultimately that day when they shot, I go back, I rip around, and I go kind of try and get a vantage point to glass to see if they're finding blood, to see if they're tracking, to see like if they hit this deer. And it's starting to look more and more like they didn't.
Uh-huh.
And so I started feeling a little bit better, you know, like I was like,
right,
thank goodness. And so I decide to kind of break down, come down this hill, and go see if I can find his track on an exit route that he should have taken. And so I end up finding his track, and I follow it for 300 yards, and it's the slowest 300 yards I've ever walked. I mean, I am looking for a speck of blood for these guys. Like, I am like, is he hit? Is there any blood?
Right.
You know, luckily I concluded that they missed. They didn't hit him. There's no blood, but I hadn't seen him besides when chaos, you know, ensued and deer went everywhere. And so I decide, oh man, I'm going to be here tomorrow morning unbelievably early. I just say, yep, tomorrow morning's the morning. I leave that next morning. I think it was a Saturday morning when I finally put it all together. And I leave one morning. I'm talking early. I get out there almost to the dirt road that I'm supposed to be on before I start my hike. And I get looking for my release.
No.
Where the freak is my release? And I just start panicking. I'm like, this is not real. This did not happen. Anyways, I am there early enough to where I'm like, you know what, I'll go back, I'll flip around, I'll go get my release. I should still make it before first light, and we'll just see. And I go back to my house, I get my release, I go all the way back out there, and Red Samurai's there. So I have to go all the way around, hike up and over, and I get into position based on my Onyx tracker that I had done for the past, you know, 8 days straight.
Yeah.
And I just pick this opening. It's about 20 to 25 yards wide and 45 yards deep. And that's the opening. I said, you know what? His variation is 40 yards. You know, like he could. This is my best opportunity for how cruddy of a morning I was having.
Right.
So I get set up in the trees. It's a Saturday morning. You know, I was banking on, you know, Weekend Warriors coming out strong and pushing him to the trees early. Like I was setting into the trees deeper than I had ever sat. Because A, I was late, and B, I felt like he was going to leave earlier, with all the traffic. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting in this saddle. It's kind of a lower part of the clearing. Like the clearing kind of rises and then rolls like it's a rolling hill. But the deepest part being 45 yards. And I'm sitting there just kind of pissed at myself, you know, like, how can you do that? It's so stupid. Like, what are you doing for getting something like that?
Right.
And I look down at my watch and it's, you know, 6:29. And I mean, that's right as the first light, everything's starting to not just be a silhouette anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6:30, I hear a hoof hit a rock.
No way. No.
My ears, I swear, my ears opened up and I'm just like on full alert looking for where this buck is. Because there's only really like two or three deer that it could be. It could be a doe. It could be the wide 4-point, and it could be Poseidon. And so I am just my – like I knew – okay, deepest part of the clearing, 45 yards. Anything under that, we're going to guess. I have my arrow locked. My release is on my string. And all of a sudden, I see tips of antlers coming through the clearing, just eating. So they're really low to the ground. I can't make out if it's him. I know it's a buck. I just couldn't make out if it's him or the wide 4-point. And he's eating, so it's, you know, really jolty movements up and down, up and down. And then he picks his head up and almost scratches himself, like reaches behind and scratches himself. And then as he turns back, because I'm lower and the hill kind of rolls, I have this section that I could see that was a tripod. It's him.
No.
That's him.
Yeah.
So I get cold chills everywhere, right? He's at the edge of the clearing, 45 yards. I pull back. I'm on him. And of course, I'm like, you know what? It's now or never, because that wide 4-point's going to peg me somehow right here, you know? Like, and so he goes into the clearing, and then he takes a hard 90. And I was like, gosh, dang it. So his butt's facing me, and I'm just waiting. Waiting. He does quarter away from me, and I just send an arrow. I knew I hit him. It was a little back because he was quartering away from me, but I watched him kick. I watched him, like, take off, and I just start shaking, man. Like, I am just, like, trembling. I can't even hold myself together. I'm so excited, but I don't even know if I made a good shot on him. Like, I truly am like, all I know is I hit him. and I just start freaking out. I'm like trying to, you know, stay composed, stay in the moment, trying to say, hey, focus. We got to know, listen for crashing, listen for rocks, listen for direction he's headed. And I'm sitting there for a while, and then I can't even hold it together. So I start filming myself. Like I'm like to send my wife when I got service, I was going to send her a video. Like I freaking did it. Like I freaking did it. So I send her, this video. I am just, you can hear it in my voice. I'm like a kid on Christmas morning. You know, I feel like my voice is high pitched and I'm freaking out and I'm just geeking on this deer, right? And so as it starts to come down, my adrenaline starts to wean a little.
Yeah.
I start remembering, you don't have a knife. You don't have game bags. You have nothing. And I'm like, I am a freaking idiot. Like, I forgot my release. I forgot my game bags. I forgot my knife. Like, I've got nothing. And so I immediately am like, okay, I'm going to go see if I can find my arrow. I've given him, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And I'm just going to go creep up 45 yards, look for my arrow, look for some blood. And then I got to go find some service. And I got to call my wife. And I'm going to tell her she's got to meet me up here with a knife. Well, ask her if she can, you know. I go up there. I do find my arrow, but it's a clean pass-through somehow. Like, I don't understand how, but it's a clean pass-through, but my arrow's not really bloody. So my first arrow was a Ramcat broadhead. And I've shot them before, you know, like I wish I was using a Sever probably. You know, I've seen the damage those things do. But it's a Ramcat. I pick it up and I'm kind of disappointed. I don't know what blood I was looking at. And so I kind of say, well, I know I hit him. Let's give him some time. I know it's far back, so it's probably a gut shot, but I hope it went guts to vitals.
Right.
And so I go back, I call my wife, and I'm pleading for her to bring my boy, my knife, and my game bags, you know? And her being the good woman she is, she says, she is just so excited. I mean, she is on cloud nine. You know, I don't know if she's more excited that the 3 a.m. mornings are over or that, you know, I have this buck. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's like, absolutely, I'll bring you a knife. Where are your knives? And I made the mistake of just saying, you know what, just bring me a knife. It doesn't matter what you bring. Just bring me a knife. She brought two.
Uh-huh.
One, I don't know that I could cut an apple with it. and then the other one being a Leatherman that was okay, you know. So ultimately, I end up skinning my buck with a Leatherman.
With a Leatherman.
So it just was funny how it kind of played out. I took away big deer, make me absolutely forget everything. So my wife says yes. She's gonna pack up my son, Crew. And head this way. She's like, I have no idea where you are, so you're going to have to try and drop me a pin of some kind. And so I drop her a pin to somewhere that had service that she could I could look at her location and kind of say, all right, you got to go. Nope, you took the wrong road, right? Right? Like, I met her. Eventually, it had been probably an hour and a half at this point. And I finally met up with her. You know, we go to a spot where I think he should be close. And I go walking in. I just tell her, I'm like, hey, just stay put, you know, I'll come and get you. And I start back at the top of the hill, and then he starts going up the hill as I'm following, but I'm talking specks of blood, like nothing. And very disappointed in the blood. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I get to a point where I just say, all right, this is his track. There's his track.
Yeah.
Here's another track. Like I couldn't, but partly my buddy is just convinced I'm colorblind, and it very well may be the case. So there could have been a trail of blood and I just couldn't see it well enough, but I'm telling you, I was following specks, like tiny, tiny specks of blood. And
yeah.
I give up and I just say, okay, track, track, track. And I get to where he is, where the canyon starts to level out. And I look up and in disbelief, I'm looking at his antlers, but they are still up. And I'm like,
no.
Oh, my gosh.
You have
gosh.
Your bow with you?
I have my bow with me, luckily. I didn't screw up for the 80th time. I had my bow with me. And so I start quartering, like, he's faced directly away from me. But his head,
yeah.
He's doing a sick head wobble, right? Like, what I didn't know at the time was his legs were kicked out. He wasn't even bedded. I think he tumbled right there. I don't know. But I get behind this cedar where even if he turned his head to try and look behind him, he wouldn't see me. I get to 25 yards and I step out behind the cedar and I put another one in him and send another arrow through him. And I ultimately, like, I didn't need to. He definitely was, you know, he was on his way out. But
yeah.
At that point, I'll tell you what, I started again just freaking out. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
I got to get my wife here. This buck is unreal. He's everything I hoped he was. You know, he's a true for me. He's a true general season giant. My biggest buck
sure.
to date with my bow. And I start freaking out again. I get my wife. We go celebrate. You know, I am just on cloud nine. I can't even focus. Like, I just – my buddy is a taxidermist, and he's like, whatever you do, don't touch the velvet. Freaking – if I could ask you to do one thing, just don't touch the velvet. One of the first things I did, I run up there and I'm grabbing his velvet. I'm just like, oh my God, this thing is unreal. You know? And so I am just freaking out. And ultimately I get, you know, my wife, she's an awesome photographer. You know, we're clearing a spot for him to get set up. I sit next to him. She's taking pictures, and then I get one of the most special pictures, you know, probably ever. Is I get a picture with my boy. He's 3 months old, and me.
That is so cool.
And Poseidon, you know, and so we are just it was crazy how it all worked out. I mean, just pure chaos brought like random luck. Like I don't, I know I put in effort for this deer, more effort than probably any other hunt that I've been on. Like I really did try to, once I found him and I knew what he was, it was game on. Like I said to, you know, spare no expense. I mean, I'm going to be there from this time to this time and work from this time to this time. And then I'm going to go back there and I'm going to watch him. And I just felt unbelievably blessed. It of course all came together the morning my buddy had to go up north to Heber. He was spending some time with his family, took a break for like the first time in like no joke, it was the first time in probably, I don't know, a month of watching him. And he is just sick to his stomach. He's like, are you joking me? And I'm like, dude, I promise you didn't even want to be there. You probably would have slapped me with how stupid I was that morning. Like I forgot my release. I forgot this. I was back and forth from my house. Like I was a mess. Anyways, he's on the ground, no shrinkage for me. Like I have a video of me walking up on him. Again, I just turn into this girly, excited, you know, person. I'm just like giddy. I'm like, holy smokes, he's still getting bigger. Like, look at his mass. And I just start, you know, caping him right there. I tried to make some phone calls, but my service was just awful. And so, you know, nothing really was going through. And I just start caping him and I immediately just say to my wife, I'm like, all right, I'm taking him to the taxidermist. Like we're going straight there. He's going to get injected and put in the freezer ASAP because his velvet is just immaculate. Like it looks so, so pretty. You know, we get to go and then I'm sharing stories. I'm actually looking at him right now. He's in my house.
That's so cool.
I am just flabbergasted with his mass. I mean, like, mass is great. I think he ended up having 44 inches of mass, I think. I don't have the score right off hand. But it was around, you know, 22 aside, I believe.
Jeez.
And so, you know, that is just crazy for me. Like, I've killed some good deer, but he was, and I've found some good sheds, right? But I would shoot him in the velvet over everything again and again and again. Like, the feeling that I got... It is just unbelievable, and you know the feeling. I mean, you've killed giants, you know. Like I don't even have to express it to you, but the feeling of just pure like satisfaction is not measurable. Like there's no measure to it. I finally was able to, you know, put a score on him, threw a tape on him, and honestly, he was surprisingly narrow. Like I didn't think he was as narrow as he was, but he's still, like, I taped him at 201. And that's with a 22-inch
general
inside
spread. No way.
So 22-inch inside spread. And of course, that's gross, right? Nets are for fish. I like giving him the most credit, right?
Right. So what was his outside spread like?
28.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say.
So bean to bean, bean to bean is 22 inches, which, dude, none of the pictures, like, even the video, like, I've got so much video of this deer, and I'm like, no, he's 24, 25 inch inside spread all day. And
right, that's what I would have guessed.
He's 22 bean to bean.
And he still broke 200. That is crazy.
So, just an absolute stud. His extra was like 10 and a quarter or something like that off his back right fork. And so, truly, I was just amazed with him and so grateful. And my sleep schedule was even more grateful. but yeah, that's pretty much it. And now every day since then, all I've done is say, I can't believe that happened. You know, like I can't believe I got him. And then, you know, people start coming out of the woodworks, like, oh, I was watching this buck. I saw that buck. Like, what a stud. Like, I've got video of that buck. And then not too long ago, I ran into the Red Samurai. I ran into him at some Maverick. I walked in to go get my daily fix, you know, and
of course.
He walks up and he's like, hey, did you just kill a really nice buck? And I was like, dude, I did kill a nice deer, man. Like, he's like, did he have a tripod on his right side? And I was like, yeah, he did. He's like, I've been watching that buck and I've been hunting this deer. And he's like, you know, he looks at me, asks me what I was driving. And I ask him and he's like, I was in a Red Samurai. And my eyes just light up. And I'm like, you dirty bounder, what are you guys doing? He's like, no, it was for a reason. Like, we didn't want him to, you know, go over the top of this knob. And anyways, ends up he did have a plan, you know, a method to his madness. During the whole hunt, I was just cussing his name. Like, I was like, this idiot, what is he doing? You know, like, yeah. I'm just pissed off, but ultimately it came together and, you know, he was super cool. Glad I got to meet him. But yeah, this deer will be proudly hung in my house, as my best mule deer. And, I'm hoping we can get close to this same mule deer come November. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Exciting. I can't wait. I'm sure if anyone can do it, it's you. So
I think
there's a lot to learn too from your story. Like, just like the dedication and time you put in. I mean, not a lot of people do that, and just to be able to stick with it. But what kind of stuck out to me the most is, like, I feel like a lot of people that morning when you forget your release, go all the way back home, would just be like, we'll chalk this day up and just go back to bed or not go back out. And especially like on a Saturday, like I know, especially for me, like Saturdays, I'm always like, it's not going to happen. There's too many people in the field.
Oh.
I hate hunting Saturdays.
The inner pansy definitely wanted to come out. I'll leave it at that. Like, I was ready to give it up, but like you said, I'm sure glad I didn't.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times, I don't know, maybe it's just like my experience, but like, I feel like that's when it happens, when it's like, you want to, like, not go out, or you're like, this isn't going to work. And, man, I feel like a lot of times that's when, like, some magic happens. Like, when you're like, oh, I can only get out for 20 minutes of evening, or, like, is it even worth the drive, or man, I don't really want to go out this morning. I don't know if it's worth it. Then something magic happens. So,
well, and honestly, I've thought a lot about it. Oh, sorry. I think there's a lag, man. I apologize. Say that again.
Oh, no. I just said, like, and you stuck with it. You thought a lot about it. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah. So I thought a lot about that same thing. Like, I was like, why did it happen on probably the worst morning that it could have happened? And I kind of narrowed it down to what I think is my circumstances changed, and so did my patterns. Well, because of my circumstances, my pattern changed, right? Like, I decided I'm going to sit deeper into the trees, and I'm late, so I don't want to go buggering. I don't want to go into my regular spot. And so I think sometimes, you know, on those days when you are just, I'm there at 6 and I leave at this time, you have in your mind where they should be, right? But they also have their own minds. And so I came to the conclusion of, I honestly think sometimes changing it up, whether you purposefully did it or it was completely accidental because of your own stupidity, but changing it up in general is what made the difference for me. It changed my pattern. It forced me to a different spot. It forced me to kind of think, well, if I'm late, where do I need to go? Where do I think he'll be? And so that was my biggest takeaway, was don't be afraid to change up, you know, what you do day to day. Like, if you start to feel like you understand an animal, trust your gut, right? Like, I went completely out on a limb to say this clearing, but I also, it wasn't just like a random clearing. I mean, I would walk in with my tracker. I knew he was going to be really close to that clearing.
Right.
But it forced me to kind of like resort to plan B. And sometimes these animals can be, you know, two or three plans ahead of you. So plan A, they're already anticipating plan A, you know, so plan B just worked for me. But yeah, that's kind of what I took away from it, man. But, again, I'm hoping to get more animals under my belt. This year was a huge, huge learning experience. And I'm hoping that I can, continue, keep the rig moving in a good forward direction.
Yeah, well, it seems like you've got it figured out. I mean, I think there, what you said is 100% true. Like you said, you just have to put yourself in the game, and you never know what might happen. And then,
right,
another thing I just wanted to touch on real quick is just like you talking about walking up on that deer. Like, man, I think, like, that's what drives me, and I think it's so cool just to be able to, like, put your hands on a deer, especially that you're so, like, I don't know if intimate is the right word, but just, like you spent so much time watching them through the glass and all those mornings, and then to finally, like, put your hands on it, like, it, man, there's just nothing that, like, even compares.
Nothing. There is nothing that compares, you know, when you're talking about hunting and finally it's coming together, right? Like, I'll have to send you the video, Connelly, but I walk up.
Yeah, I love
and I lose my entire identity. Like, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is unreal. Like, holy cow. So I'm just freaking out, and – And he just continues to grow and to grow and to grow. And yeah, it's just crazy when it all comes together, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's what just keeps you going. Like I was telling my wife this year, like I'm hunting a really big deer, and she's like, why do you keep going out? Like you're not having fun. Like, because I always tell him, like, this sucks. Like, it's not even fun. But then I'm like, you remember how happy I was when I killed that buck? Like, and he's like,
yep.
Yeah, like, that's why. Like, yeah, maybe all this sucks, but, like, that moment of, like, pure joy is, like, what I'm going for. I just want to feel that again.
Absolutely. You know, we all are searching for our fix, our high. It's just different for us. We're, as hunters, that's it for us. You know, I mean, it is, I am obsessed with that feeling. And it doesn't happen every single, you know, hunt that you go on. And so, again, the more you go out, the more chances you're given. But not every hunt ends in a success. But every hunt creates awesome memories. And like I said, with my boy, that'll be something. That'll be a screensaver of mine probably till the day I die.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like
That's so cool.
It was such a cool feeling. And he is – I think it's the third picture that I posted. He's just grinning ear to ear. Like –
You look happy as can be.
Dude, my wife made him smile, and I wake up in the morning and I just want to look at that picture, that smile, and remember that moment. Such a cool experience. But I've also never put, like you said, that much time and effort into probably one particular animal. So it's just cool how it all happens.
Right. Well, I know I've kept you longer than I said, but man, that was an awesome story. I think there's a lot to learn, and I can't wait to see how you do on your next hunt. Hopefully you put down another 2 hundo.
Yeah, with any of your luck, you know, maybe I will. Maybe you'll rub off on me.
I hope so.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. I thought that was such a awesome story by Caden, and, man, that's such a cool buck. If you want to see some more pictures of it, check out the Instagram, Dirty Giants. And if you guys would leave a review, if you enjoy the podcast, it goes a long way, and I really appreciate it. And if you kill a dirty giant of your own, send it my way. I'd love to see pictures and hear the story. Anyways, thanks again for listening, and we'll put out another episode soon.